Radha Sudhanidhi Ki Jai. Prabodhananda Saraswati Ki Jai. We're finishing the last point of this verse, 53, which described three points: attaining the Siddhadeya by our meditation, Kishoryam Atmanam, Sukumariam. By Atmanam means thinking, identifying with my body, mind, and self. So my self is Radharani's Dasi Manjri. Let's say Krishna Das. So that point we discussed. We discussed receiving the cloth of Radharani, or Krishna, or Guru, the principle receiving Prasadi Vastra, and what that means. It's an expression of love for the superior to the junior. And the last point of the verse, as most all the verses are, he's saying, Vivita Parichayaika Chaturam. He's saying, when Sripad in his Manjari absorption, feeling and identifying as a Manjari humble maidservant of Radharani, he's thinking, when, Kim, will I ever see myself in this position? And I discussed this before a little bit about when, in other words, we're in one position right now, even all of us, ladies and gentlemen, and we may want to be in another position. For example, you may be in Russia, and now you're in good position. Everyone's in good position, the Holy Dham. But you may be in anywhere, Bombay, Delhi, wherever. And you're thinking, I don't like so much. My heart is hankering for Braj. And my eyes are hankering to see Radhasham. And my ears are hankering to hear the Holy Name in Braj. And my feet are hankering to walk around Govardhan. So I don't like, I'm hankering and thinking about this position, Dham Vas, Dham Yatra. And we work on this principle all the time. No one's existing in the present. That's the problem. We're either going to the back before, I used to be young and so sparkly, but now I'm old and fallen apart. So we lament and our mind goes to the behind. What I was, what I did, where I was. And our mind goes to the future. And meanwhile, we don't even see where we're going down the road, the Bhakti Marg. So for devotees, we do remember the past, and we are in the present, but we're very much in the future. Devotees, the progressive devotee, progressive sadhaka, he's a very futuristic person. Throughout all the bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur and Vishwanath and Bhaktivinoda and others, all the time you see this word kabe, kada. Kabe, kada means when. It means future tense, when in the future. So these are the great Siddha Mahatmas. Because someone generally, they're hankering for the future or they want something in the future because their present situation is not agreeable. It's not likable. It's not what they want. Oh, I'm here, but I want to be there. I'm like this, but I want that. When will I be like this? When will I be there? So these liberated souls, Vishwanath, Narottam, and all the others that write in these bhajans, they are peaceful. They're not disturbed. They're not anxious about wanting something in the future or missing something in the past or lamenting. But they're showing us that this is this same principle which has its material counterpart, which I mentioned. It may be negative for spiritual life, for spiritual life. But in spiritual circles, to hanker for the future is a big part of our bhajan. Otherwise, we become what is called complacent. I don't know how you know, complacent means complacent. I'll explain, then you can translate into Russian, since there's only basically three languages in ISKCON: Hindi, Russian, and English. So if you only speak one, you're at a loss. If you speak Hindi, Russian, and English, then you're a real, all-star. I guess all the future preachers will be like that, because most Russians, they know English, and they're not too stupid. They're smart, so then they learn Hindi, then they got it. They'll be the best. Best. So this principle should be with us, and we're always being reminded that. He's saying when he's in a Nitya Lila, Sripad and Tungavindya in his Sakhi form or his eternal form, she is eternally in a Lila, but he's saying Vivida Parichayaka Chaturam. So he's mentioning here not any particular seva, but he's hankering to be in this position. What position? I'm hankering to be in a position of receiving love from someone. I think everyone is hankering for that. I want to be loved by someone. This is a basic. This is because if you're a servant, it means you want to be loved by your master. A servant that's not loved by his master is an unhappy servant, is a disturbed servant. But a servant that's loved by his master, then he feels satisfied and he loves his master in return. So we are by sarup, sarupakata, means our very constitutional nature is that we're servants. That's not a new point. So servant means he's hankering for the love of the master. The gopas are there in Sakyaras, and they're hankering for the love of Krishna. And the gopis are in Madhurya Ras, they're hankering for the love of Krishna. And Mother Yashoda's in Vatsali Ras, and she's hankering for the love of her Lalaji, Nanda Dulal, Krishna. So the Mandris, they're hankering for Radha's love. They're hankering, because love means giving gifts, which we already described. So here he's hankering, when will I be in that position? What position? I'll be your maidservant. I'll be your Manjari, Kinkari. And if I am your Manjari, Kinkari, I will be very near and dear to you. I'll be very close to you. I'll be as close as your heart. How close is our heart to our body, to our being? It is the most close thing we have, our heart. So the Manjaris, they live in the heart of Radharani. And Radharani lives in the heart of the Manjaris. So, if I am situated there at the lotus feet of Radharani and serving her and all her, and of course Krishna, they're inseparable. So I'm serving Radha and Krishna Yugal, that's my goal, but with speciality of serving Radha. What about Mother Yashoda? Mother Yashoda is also serving Radha and Krishna, but she's leaning towards Krishna. What about Dhanishta and Brindadevi? They're also serving Radha and Krishna, but they lean a little bit more towards Krishna. Although Brindadevi and Dhanishta, they're Krishna Sneha Adik. They fully love Radha and they fully love Krishna. And they arrange for so many Leelas, Brindadevi and Yogamaya, Purnamasi. But you see in different exchanges where the Manjaris are taking Radharani's side and playing with Krishna and saying, oh, Radharani's not coming. Then Brinda and Dhanishta are there and looking at the Manjaris, what are you doing? Why are you fibbing? You know that Radharani's in that kunja, but you want Krishna to become eager. So then they look at, because they're basically, that means they support Krishna's side when push comes to shove, as we say, when it comes to that point. So these are very fine points of the Siddhanta. But in this particular verse, he's saying, when will I ever see myself here and in the kunja, or let's say in this particular instance, Radharani's showing her love, the dati pratigrinati bhunkte bhojayate jiva. She's expressing her love towards her servant. What type of servant? Her loving maidservant, her manjari, her kinkari. When I ran out of the kunja in the morning so hastily to return to Varsan or Yavat before the sunrise, I ran out so fast I just put my arana, my chunari, over my shoulders, and I ran out without my kanchuli, or we say choli. And you noticed that, and you immediately got it and kept it secretly under your cloth. And then when we got back to Yavat, then when it was time for me, when I was waking up, then you slipped it to me, you gave it to me. No one saw, the Sakis didn't see, my mother-in-law, no one saw, Mukura, my grandmother didn't see. And now is the time my dressing, and all the Sakis and Manjaris are around me, and they're offering me so many new clothes and ornaments and decorating. But I remember, you're that good servant. You're that very attentive and smart, clever servant. That's why the word here in Sanskrit is chaturam, parichari, anuchari, Kinkri, Kaikarnyam, Manjri, they all mean servants, dasi, maidservants. So he says, Vivida Paricharyaika Chaturam. So Vivida means varieties, like it means Vivida means very colorful sevas, many varieties of service, at all times and all places. But Chaturam means I'm very expert. Like some people paint and they're okay, but some people are expert. It's like Russian, we have many Russian artists, but some are very famous because they're expert for their colors, for their expression of bhav, or for their detail, and people gravitate towards them, although there may be many. Or there's this one lady has her own special style. I mean, every artist has their style because it's their bhav. Everyone has fingers. Every artist has fingers, and they have intelligence and knowledge of art, but everyone has a different eye and a different bhav. So there's one lady that's really caught everyone's attention lately, Yamuna Priya. There's one Russian lady who makes all those pastel colors. You know, it's very popular on all the Facebook. What? Jugala Priti. Priya. Jugala Priya. She's dear to the divine couple. She's a Russian person. Lives in Vrindavan. You can see it. If she was painting in Moscow, it wouldn't be the same. Just living in Vrindavan, just living here without a fence, you automatically develop Brajbhav. Means to love Krishna like the Brijvasis do. And your particular bhav is depending on the inclination or orientation of your heart. But its Brajbhav is a generic idea, and it may express itself internally or individually as Madhuryabhav or Sakyabhav or Vatsalya or Dasya. These we find here. So I like the joyfulness of her paintings. It's people love too much all these bright pastel colors and so much movement, because the word braj itself means movement. Braj means to move. So Krishna's moving. When he walks, he doesn't go like, he's like this. Like it says he walks like a drunken elephant. You know, if you're not drunk, you walk pretty straight, you know, with your head down and going to your work, you know. See the ladies in the city going down. Everyone's walking. But if you're just walking in the woods and you're in a great mood, you're just like, oh, and you fall off the path, you know, you're going, what to speak. So Krishna walks like a drunk. And the words are in Sanskrit. He said, when he walks, comes through Barsana on his way to Nandagram, he's staggering. He said he's staggering. He's just... And the gopis' minds are going staggering also as they watch him. So there's lots of movement. Krishna, even when he walks, he's moving left and right. So I see these paintings. It's so colorful, and so the movement is very nice. A lot of bhav also. The lady's got good... I never seen or met this lady, but good artist. She's blessed. She's blessed by Radharani. And very popular. People steal her stuff everywhere on the net. Or whatever, I don't know what it is, you know. Not me, but people that are falsely representing me. Vividas Paricharyaika Chaturam. So the note here is Srimati Radharani's handmaids. Handmaids means maidservants, mantris. They're expert at different practical sevas. Can you open one of those doors? Yeah, no, the other one. Close that other one. Yeah, that's good, because I don't like the light, but there's more, it creates more draft. There's nice draft coming through, but this may be too much bright. Can you put these up there? I forgot to turn it back on. I paused it when I did the curtains. That's interesting. It was on pause. Anyway, that whatever that 15 minutes was there. So this, that's good. It's not on the time. Because otherwise, when I tell them to edit, take anything, it's kind of like this. Because I have some things in my heart that sometimes I can't keep out down. Especially now since my godbrother, you know, just left. So I think of many things, because I work, gave so many donations there, and he told me so many things. In Vrindavan Mahimamrita, the same Prabhupada Nanda Saraswati, he asked this So someone may ask the question, well, the Sakhi Manjaris are so expert in everything. They're vivita paricharekam chaturam. They're very expert in so many sevas. Well, did they go to school? Are there schools up there in the spiritual world? And I'm sorry to inform you. I'm very sorry to inform you. The answer is yes. So school's not over yet. You thought you were out of school, but... And you can read in Stavavali by Raghunath Das Goswami. One of his prayers is called Sobhishta something, Seva Sobhishta. And there he's hankering for service. So he prays to different mandris. He says, Oh Vishaka Sakhi, Sakhis. So when will I come to you? When will Radharani send me to you to learn the art of joking? Narma Yukti. It's called Narmokti, which means Narma Yukti, conversation. Narma means joking. When will I? And I will sit at your feet, and you'll teach me how to tell good jokes, and you'll teach me how to do. Teach me praheli. Praheli means riddles. You'll teach me how to make riddles, and Krishna, like you see in Govinda Lila Marita, Madhyan Lila, Radha and Krishna do riddles. Like Radharani says to Krishna, he says, Krishna, I'm thinking of a gopi, this, like this, like this, like that, you know, and kind of all backwards descriptions. You can't figure it out. It's like a riddle. Do you know who that is? And Krishna says, that's Vishaka. He says, yes. And then Krishna says, oh, okay, I have a riddle. Then Radharani says, oh, who is that? And so this is one thing. And then the next verse says, when will I go to Lalita Sakhi? I'm praying that... I will sit at your feet, and you'll teach me how to decorate Radharani's face so beautifully. Just like you see the deities in Vrindavan or Shamsundar or somewhere, or Damodar or Shamsundar, and they're painted so nicely and so expertly. And you may think, oh, I wish I could do like that. You know, so nice, and expert. You know, I very miss that. Because that's because mandris do that. They decorate Krishna's face because some mandris go to Nandagram and help the sakhas dress Krishna. And, of course, Radharani, they're there. So these prayers are there. So then the question is, how did the mandris become vivida chaturam? How they became so expert in different sevas? So the same Prabhupada Saraswati answers his question in another one of his classic books, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. And I don't have the verse written here. I forgot the number. But this is a verse. He says, Shri Ishvari, Shikshita Shesha, Kala Koshala Salinim, Shri Ishvari Vagadi, Sarven Gita Vichakshanam. So kind of can figure it out by now. Shri Ishvari is Shri Ishvari Shiksha. Everyone knows what Shiksha. Kala means this, the Kalas, you know, Kala Kendra. We say Kala Kendra means art academy or music academy, Kala Kendra. Kala Koshala Salinam, Sri Ishri Vagadi, Saravan Gita Vichakshanam. So then the translation is, Srimati Radhika herself, Sri Ishri Radha, she personally has taught the mandris all the Vivida Chaturam, all the Kala Koshala Salinam, all the varieties of arts, by Radha's grace, the mandris can understand all the hints that Radharani gives them with her eyes, words, and gestures. So the Sarva Sri Ishri Shiksha, Kala Koshala, the mandris have learned all the arts from Radharani. Then later, all the different sevas and arts, they've learned them all. Then Radharani later, she indicates what, like she wants something. Just like if you have a son and you send your son to art school and he learns art. So then later at some point you might say, oh, can you make a painting of Gopal? Oh, yes, father, I can do that. So he's asking you. So then it says, Sri Ishri Vag Adi Sarvan Gita Vichakshanam. So then Iksha means her glances. So Radharani indicates to her mandris with her words, her Vag Devi, or Vag Ishri is a name for Saraswati. Vak Ishri or Vag Devi. Vagisha. She's called Vagisha. She's a controller and mistress of speech, Saraswati, who's an expansion, of course, of Radharani. In the spiritual world, there's Divya. Divya is spiritual Saraswati. And she has her material counterpart, the goddess of material knowledge. So Radharani, by her words, by her Sarvangita, by her gestures and by her eyes, she indicates, and then the mantris very expertly carry out whatever seva that Radharani indicates. Everything's very subtle. Like when we come here from other countries, we come to India and we associate and move and live with or communicate with Indian people, we see they have such subtle ways of communicating things. A movement of the head, the eyes, and very, very sweet and little bit imperceptible. At least I can't speak about Russian culture or people. But generally in the West, as I know it, and say America or even England, the communication is very on a much grosser level. You have to convey, when you get a gift, if someone gives a gift to someone, here's an example. If someone gives a gift, then when you receive it, you have to say, thank you. I don't know if you have a Russian word. That's in Russian, that idea of saying something? Yeah? Okay. Somehow that kind of, the Queen's influence, Queen of England, got everybody saying thank you. But in India, which is a culture of God, Ram Chandra lived here, Vishnu lived here. I mean, I still live here in Ayodhya, whatnot. Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, Nisringa, everybody came here, lived here, stayed for some time, did their leelas here. And Krishna established the culture here of India, the basic culture of four ashrams and four varnas, here in Bharat. In the Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna about what he did in Bharat. He says, listen, Arjuna, I've established Chaturvarnya Mayashrisvam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Here in Bharat, not anywhere else, but in Bharat Varsh, I've established the four varnas and ashrams. Outside, they're called Antyaja, they're called Nastik, Pashandis, Mlechas, Yavanas, whatever they are, or we are. But in Bharat, so that culture that Krishna established, that eternal culture of Bharat in India, everything's, as Krishna and Radharani are communicating so subtly, then they're descendants of all that whole culture and all those rishis. Even today, Indian people are very, very subtle and very, very different than any other people of the world in how they communicate and convey their feelings, desires, etc. For example, I already said, if you give a gift to someone, they say thank you. If you give a gift to some Indian person, they don't say thank you. They may be programmed and conditioned and beaten by their modern Bombay parents or modern Delhi parents. But if they're somewhat traditional and from the villages where the modern Asuric ways have not taken hold, then they still exhibit the postures and movements of the traditional Vedic Indian spiritual culture of India. Example. So some village child, like the father says, oh, he comes to you and he says, my daughter or my son needs some notebooks and this and that and help with school fees, and if you can help, you say, all right, what are the school fees? And then you give. You say, what notebooks? All this and that. Where I get? I said, I get. They have in Vrindavan and all this. So you get all these notebooks and pens and everything. Then you go to the person, to the father, and say, and he calls his son. He says, oh, look, Swamiji got these things for you. And then you give him, and his eyes just go, it's such an amazing thing. They can't speak. But it was, okay, thank you, another Christmas present. Okay, thank you. I got, this is the 10,000th gift I got. Grandma gave me 5,000, Grandpa gave me 2,000, Father gave me 500. Okay, thank you. But and it's all in their eyes, they're just exploding with appreciation and gratitude, and they don't say anything. And moreover, usually they run away. They just go, in other words, they're saying, because you can understand the language comes in your heart, the language of love, the language of satisfaction. So in your heart, they get it and they go, and they just make this face and they run away to the room like, wow, because they don't know how to contain the emotions they have. Because in a village, it's like, I say, villagers are raw humanity. I say this, village, raw, you know, raw, like, you know, raw means cooked vegetables and raw vegetables. You get some pumpkin, it's raw, it's kacha. And then when you cook it, it's pukka. So in, like we say, raw foods, maybe you don't have that term. Somebody eats raw foods. He doesn't eat anything cooked. He just eats apples and nuts and salads. It's called raw foods. I don't know in Russia what you say. R-A-W, raw. Anyway, you say kacha? Kacha, kacha, paka, kacha, paka. So the, in the village, it's raw humanity. It's human beings as they are. But you go to the cities, everything's very, hello, yes, thank you. You know, everything's very polished, very artificial, very false, and very plastic. Real people get angry, and they get, and you know, it's like falsity has never attracted me. So I in America it's the same way. Don't misunderstand me. I grew up in the country with country people, and I went to school in the cities, college and university. And my brother lived there. I met so many people from the city. And they used to come because I lived on the seashore. So all the city people would come down in the summer and jump around on the beach and the ocean because we lived over there. And then they go away. And it's all empty and peaceful. But different kind of people. So this is basically... Oh, I finished this. Because the Manjaris are so near and dear to the divine couple, Radha Madhav. They are... In other verses we discussed, Rahasya Paricharikas. Manjaris are Radharani's most trusted, confidential, private maidservants. Therefore, nothing remains hidden from the Manjaris. That's why in the previous verse they called Raha. Raha means, like, there's two sisters, and one sister says, oh, you know, I know something secret, you know. Oh, tell me. Oh, no, it's very secret. No, I promised my friend I can't tell you. Come on, I'm your sister. Look, we have the same skin, everything, you know. And that person, you that, and they say, well, what is that secret? Oh, this one Indian guy. I'm Russian, you're Russian. You know that. You can share with me, you know. He's Indian, like you can tell. No, but... listen, you know. You promise? Oh, I promise. This is an American thing. You cross your fingers means I promise. It's an American thing, you know. You cross your fingers means it's really like... serious promise, you know. But we make a joke in America. They say, do you promise? So then you go behind your back and you just go, yeah. But this hand is not going like that. The other hand is open. Like you half promised. It's like this. Because this hand behind your back is like this. It's just like this. You promise? Yeah, I promise. So no, both hands, I promise. This is our culture. Every culture has different things, you know. And everybody breaks their promises. That's every culture. I can promise you, if you tell someone to promise, the whole world will know in 5 hours. Actually, you can use this in reverse psychology. Like if you want to get, you know, on someone's good side, and then you say something good, which is hard for most of us to say. You say, listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. I want you to promise not to tell anybody. But I think so-and-so is really nice and this and that. Oh, yeah, I promise I won't tell anybody. Then immediately on net and everything, WhatsApp, this, that. You know, someone said somebody's really, really nice. Because I had this experience, because there were some people living in Puri, and there's a group of people from a particular country, which I won't mention, not Russia. And then I was in Vrindavan, and I knew that some of those people in Puri, because I visited there regularly for 10 years, they weren't so favorable to my party. So then I met some people, and they didn't know that I knew that they were from there, that party. So we were talking at Radhadamodar. I was serving there. And they said, oh, you came from Puri. And I said, oh, how is so-and-so and this and that? They said, they're okay. Oh, you know, they're really nice devotees. You know, they're really. I was saying so many things about these devotees in Puri. So then about 3 months later, I went to Puri. And I saw these people that were formerly kind of like not too favorable. I said, Maharaj, nice to see you. They were so friendly, you know. I said, look, you know, because one person he married a Puri person. He was an outside person, but he married a person from Puri. He said, "Oh, I have some prasadam for you." And I said, "Oh, it's nice. Nice to see you." So the whole thing got turned around because I told a secret in Vrindavan. So it has its positive. You know, you have to be a little, this is the mantras, Vivida Chaturam. You have to be a little clever, you know. It's a little like type of political idea, you know, maneuvering. Because everything has its application. And when you're intelligent, you can apply, you know, the things. I saw it. I just tried it because I already knew this feature from America 20, 30, 40 years ago. If you want to spread something around, you have to say it's a secret. Is this caught down there or something? It's on a, okay, thanks. So, anyway, that's a side point. But it's not a side point because Manjri is a rahasya. So in this way, the 64 arts, oh, I was going to read, but I forgot. I was going to read the 64 arts from Brahma Samhita in my notes. Maybe I'll read that in some other class. Because in this Brahma Samhita, which of course must be in Russian also, in BBT, in one of the verses, I think towards the end of the book, there's many, many purports. I have the same description in my Gayatri book, Gayatri Mahima Madhuri, which is it's in Russian also. I think so. In there, maybe you don't remember, but in there, the Sanskrit term and English translation of the 64 arts are there. And the mantras know all these, because it says here in the verse, it says, or rather I quoted that verse from Vrindavan Mahimamrita, that they're expert in Kala. And Radharani teaches them all the 64 arts. So what are the 64 arts? So they're listed there, but I've been attending some classes myself here, and they're teaching different things. So they were describing all the talents of the mantras and what all they know. So maybe tomorrow I can bring those, because it's very interesting. Because actually tomorrow's verse is we'll see. What is that? It's continuing on the same theme. Because the theme of this verse was attaining siddhadeya, and these were secondary points about the expertise in service and receiving the reward of Radharani's cloth through Mahaprasadi out of Radharani's love. That, as I mentioned, when that manjari, she retrieved that forgotten choli or kancholi of Radharani, and she gave it back secretly Radharani. When Radharani was getting bathed and dressed with new clothes, she called that manjari over. I don't think I finished. She said, "Come here." And she took that from her shelf and she said, "You take this." And then she put, not only that, she gave her dukulam. It says, dukulam, dukulam vibranam, atakuchatate kanchukapatam. Very nice Sanskrit. So she gave Radharani not only her choli, but she gave her a set of clothes. She gave her a matching set. Like someone says, "Here's a choli." "Oh, great, you know, now what?" You need a whole thing. So Radharani gave her dukulam, which means like the dress in the bottom part, and gave her the kanchukapatam, gave her the we call choli. So Mahaprasada Radharani. So happy that manjari. So now it says here, I'm wearing Radharani's Mahaprasad. And it's like, this is my greatest treasure. In the tikas of chapter 39 in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. That's 39, but the tikas of later, maybe chapter 46, 10th canto, when Uddhav came to Vrindavan from Mathura, 46 and 47 describe his visit. 47 is primarily Brahmargita, Radharani's mad chitra-jalpa, mad talks, and Udgurna, her symptoms of divine ecstasy, Mahabhav, in relation to that bee and separation. So when he came, he met Yashoda first, Ananda, and other coward men regularly. He stayed many days and nights. Then finally, he met the gopis, last of all. So he heard from the coward men and the coward boys, and he heard from the mothers, and he heard so much about Krishna and tried to speak something to comfort them. But one thing he noticed, that when he came to Nandagram, Yashoda and Nanda, is described, they were lying outside the palace. This is in the BBT also, and also Sartan Darshini. They were lying out in the courtyard on the ground. And they hadn't gone back in the palace since Krishna left, which was quite a few months before that. And inside the palace was all full of dust. There was all dust. It's as if you leave your door open in your house in Vrindavan for 2 days, you have 2 inches of dust on your floor. So much dust. There were cobwebs. There were cobwebs in the ceiling. Spider webs. Like here, probably you see. Spider webs in the ceiling. My choky door is going to clean. There's spider webs. And then their clothes were all soiled, and they were wearing the very same cloth that they wore when Krishna left. Yashoda Nanda. And why is that? Because this cloth, because when they went down, when Krishna was leaving, everyone went to the chariot. Even the gopis were there. Everyone was standing around Akrura's chariot. It was a very tragic and pathetic moment. You know, someone comes and rips your heart out of your body. That's a very tragic moment. So Krishna is the Prananath of Radha and all the gopis and all the Brijvasis. And now Akrura is ripping them out of their hearts, taking them to Mathura. And that Viraha Git. And so the gopis are all standing around there with Jatila and Vrishabhanu and Yashoda and Krishna and Balaram, all suckers. Everyone's standing around looking at Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. And they're just quiet. And everyone's looking at each other. Radharani and Lalita, they're looking. And then finally, at the last verse, you know, in that description of Viraha Gita, they couldn't contain themselves anymore. Then they screamed, they yelled out in unison. They all yelled out, Govinda Damodar Madhava Eti. Govinda Damodar Madhav. And from this shloka of Bhagavatam, Bilva Mangala Thakur came like 4,500 years later and wrote Govinda Damodar Stotram. Govinda Damodar Madhava Eti. Govinda Damodar Dharamadaveti. And then there's that whole beautiful stotram. It's in Giti Gooch or others. I don't know there, but it's there. So the gopis, and then everyone looked at the gopis like, what? You know, your husband's name is not Govinda. Your husband's name is Abhimanyu. And Chandravali yells out, Govinda. Your husband is not Govinda. Your husband's Govardhan Mala. Chandravali's married to a coward man named Govardhan Mala. Govinda is that boy in the chariot. Govinda, that Damodar is from Gokul and got tied up by Yashoda. Govinda, Damodar, and Madhav. Wait a minute. So they were. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they didn't change their clothes. Why? And Uddhava found their clothes. Because those clothes have the fragrance of Krishna's body on them when he was sitting on the chariot, Krishna Balaram's body. And the dust, and when those wheels, when the chariot was moving down the road, and kicking up the dust, all the dust from the chariot was in the air, and it was just falling all over their clothes. So they were only maintaining their lives. They were not eating. It says in the Tikas that Yashoda and Nanda, what to speak of the gopis, they were not eating anything. And they were just smelling the fragrance of their clothes because this was the remnants of Krishna, Krishna's Gandha, Suganda, his Saurabh. The fragrance of Krishna's body was still impenetrated and mixed in. Inside the cloth. So they were just, oh Lala, oh Ananda Maharaj, you know, I mean, excuse me, oh Ananda Dilal, when are you coming? So this is another form of prasadi cloth. So I think we'll stop there and we'll start tomorrow fresh, new verse. Is there any questions on today's verse? If you have regular questions, you can come on Sunday between 4 and 6. And we have like satsang then. You know, I mean, Phil's Krishna conscious question. But here it's on this verse. The mandris, their expertise in service, or anything. I'd like to read the verse again. It's because it kind of wrap it up. That's what I like to do. This is verse 53. Tukulam vibranam atta kuchatate kanchukapatam prasadam swaminya swakaratala dattam pranayata. Swamini Prasadam, Swakara Taladattam Pranayata. The Radharani Swakara. Kara means, like we say, kartals. Ch-ch-ch. Because kartals used to be tal. Tal means beat. Oh, keep the tal. We say beat. There's one, two, three. That's called tal. So when you take your hands, that's called kartal. So this is kara in Sanskrit. So when a hand is keeping beat. So now, this is what, because people don't always have these, jing, jing, jing. So when you don't have jing, jing, you go like this. So that's kartal. Then when you put the symbols in it, it doesn't become pital, pitaltal. Pital means brass. And pital is, you know, brass. It doesn't become brass tal. It's still kartal. This is kartal, and you put this, ch-ch-ch, it's kartal. So this Radharani is Sakaratala, Sakaratala Dattam Pranayata. With her hands, she gave her cloth. And I mentioned also earlier that the Bhava of Brijbasis, as I mentioned, when you live in Vrindavan, you just live here without offenses, you automatically get Brajabhav. Here's an example. You'll live here, and you may stay somewhere in some temple or know some people, and you watch and observe this. So you're in a temple, say Radha Damodara. And then it's the Mahant, the Saivite, the head pujari, the owner of the temple. His name is Nirmal Chand Goswamiji. It's his. He says, "Oh, you know, my wife's birthday is coming up," and I said, "Oh, could I buy something for your wife? Because I was living there for 3 years, and you can give it to her on my behalf. What should I get?" So you can buy some sari. I said, okay, how much? So I gave him the money, he went and bought. So he showed me, see, I got this. And so I said, okay, you give it. So it's a matter of exchange, loving exchange. So then he told his wife that Swamiji has given this sari for you. So that was one day. The next day, when Shringar Darshan, I saw that sari on Radharani. I said, wow. That's really nice. I spent 400 rupees and I was able to dress Radharani. Because if I go down to Raman Reti, I don't think I can dress Radharani for 400 rupees. I mean, one sari of Radharani's in some Radhastami costs about 1 lakh. It's like, she's like, it's obviously a little simple. But there it was. I was staying there, and the family gave me so much love and kindness, and I served Prabhupada for 3 years there. They treated me like a son. So you can't be like that. Even when Prabhupada left this world, he made a will. And in his will, he made out, he said, every month, give $50 to Panchu's mother. So Panchu's mother means the mother of this person I'm talking about. So Prabhupada had that type of thinking. It's in his will. While she was alive, and I met her, she was there. She used to sit in front of the deities. His mother, I don't remember her name. His nickname is Panchu, Nirmal Chand Goswamiji. His mother, because she was there when Prabhupada was there, and even in Prabhupada's will, he said, make sure she gets $50. Then he left in his will, my former wife should get this money, my sons. This is Krishna consciousness. Oh, no, I'm big sannyasi guru. Forget my family, forget everybody, let them go. This is not it. Prabhupada didn't teach like this. So when you're receiving something, you become indebted. So what can I give? What can I give? So then I like this. But I was simply trying to be a human being and reciprocate with the love I was receiving from other devotees. I said, well, maybe I give a gift. So when I followed the proper protocol of going to my ashram, I did go buy it and sorry, give it to her. I gave him money. He bought. And I said, okay, fine. She wears it, I'm happy. But then I see Radharani's wearing it. I said, wow. I was so happy. And then I said to him, I thought it was your wife. He said, no, we don't wear anything. We don't wear anything unless we offer to Damodar first. So this is Brajbhav. You won't learn this by living in Russia or America. So that's an example of how you... What is Brajbhav? Everything for the center, me next. Brajbhav, everything for the center is Radha and Krishna. To that extent, the clothes, everything. Okay, the food, okay, ding, 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 Tulsi, Mahaprasad. But everything. That's, you know, a very deep sanskara in my brain. And I came to know that this is a regular practice, etc., etc. So very touching. And you, when you see that, when you see pure bhakti in action, it really opens and purifies the mind and heart. If I have a phrase in English, actions speak louder than words. We preach about love and harmony and service and helping others. It's all, is it words or is it heart reality? It's not a philosophy, it's a way of living. It's not a way of living, it's a way of loving. Krishna lives in a land of love and he loves everyone there. Krishna lives in the land of love and he loves everyone there. So we should live in a land of love and love everyone there. Which means the squirrels and the birds and the dogs and the monkeys. Yes, they rip up your clothes, still you feed them. I'm not going to feed you, you ripped up my sari, my dhoti. No, you feed them anyway. Because they're Brijvasis. They're Krishna's people. I mean, devotees. Because if you have duality, you're not Krishna consciousness. You're in the material world. Esha dvesha samutayana dvanda mohena bharata. Gita, dvanda mohena, the illusion of duality. Everything is Krishna's and everything belongs to Krishna, and I am Krishna's. Isha vasyam idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat. Tena tyaktena bunjita madgriha kasya swiranam. This is the first verse of Isha Upanishad. You ever heard of that book, Isha Upanishad? Isha Upanishad. What's the first verse? Everyone knows the first verse. It's on some... Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnam Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. Because there was a Radhakrishnan Temple album. It was recorded in 1969 by George Harrison and Yamuna Devi and all the devotees. So everyone, you must have heard that. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. I mean, very nice. No, I was like, what is this? This is something different. Okay, any questions? I'm happy to see some of my old friends from Vrindavan. I faces I know, and your fellow imports. We've all been imported here from our other countries. Regular faces, so it's wonderful. You're still here and obviously receiving the mercy of Rana Chamsundar and your Gurudevs. Very nice. Mrs. Anjana. I don't even know your name. I just know you're his wife. Aditi. That's a beautiful name, Aditi. You're full of the light of seva and love. Love for your children, love for your husband, love for others. Aditi is the mother of Indra, I think. Aditi. I mean, there's one Aditi. There's many people the same name. What is your idea? Vamanadeva is called Upendra. Another, you know, Vamanadeva is called Trivikram. His other name is Upendra. Upendra means he's the older brother of Indra. So if he's the older brother of Indra, that means Indra's mother is also Aditi. So, the better you identify with God than Indra. Anyway, but that word means light also in Sanskrit. Like we say Aditya, one of the names for you ever heard of Dwadas Aditya Tila? Madan Mohan is on Dwadas Aditya. So Aditya means light, effulgence. So I translated it, put it that way. You're brilliant with the light of pure love for your children and your husband and Krishna and other devotees. It's on your face. Sorry. You've been exposed. Your secret has been revealed. You have to get a new Facebook. Your Facebook's not working. He's telling the truth. Most Facebooks you lie, you get these kind of pictures where you look really good. Like someone said, what is it? Oh, yeah, no, what they said in India, they have a joke. They say, if you want to see what someone really looks like, here's the joke, Indian joke. If you want to see what someone really looks like, ask them, can I see your voter's ID? Your picture on your voter's ID or your license? And then, because I saw your Facebook picture and it's all Photoshop and everything. And it's totally fake. You know, fake shop. I mean, Photoshop, whatever. Fake book. Fake book. Facebook. So this is an Indian joke. I heard it from Delhi. So if you want to know what someone looks like, you know, you see someone on Facebook and you say, wow, you know, maybe I want to get married. Maybe this one. I don't know. Well,